Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will be at Pete and Terry's Tavern for Preds Game Day coming up in about an hour. But right now, talking about the Titans, and if they decide to move on from quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Rand Carthon was noncommittal in his press conference. Vrabel's kind of been noncommittal. Carthon's whole thing was, I just got here, I need time to evaluate. And I totally get that. I think that's a fair answer. He answered it the right way. But, you know, if it's a franchise quarterback, I don't think you need time to evaluate. So that obviously is where the Titans are at. So if they decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill, who exactly is a realistic option? Now, yesterday, Jonathan Hutton was on our show, as he joins us every Monday at 10:30, and he stands by that Henry and Tannehill are the best options for this team.
I didn't read much into what he said about Tannehill, and you know the Henry stuff, that fits the mentality of what they're going to do. He still mentioned running the football. So did Vrabel. That's just kind of the mindset of those two guys. And to me, I think if you got in a closed door with them and asked them their options, Tannehill right now, as we sit here today, Tannehill's the best option. Now, other options can present themselves. You know, what are your trade options in the draft? What are your free agent options? What are your trade options right now among quarterbacks? But right now, Tannehill's the most realistic and best option given the circumstances of what they have.
That's Jonathan Hutton yesterday on our show. I agree with Jonathan Hutton. I believe that right now, today, Ryan Tannehill is the best option for this football team. Now, if I had to guess, I think, you know, Jared in particular is probably going to create a narrative of getting rid of – he's on the Brady train. I already know that. He wants Tom Brady here. I don't believe it's going to happen. I've seen crazy things happen, but I don't believe it's going to happen. But – there's going to be a group that kind of looks at this as, yep, they're going to move on. They need to move on. And there's a lot of you that have already said it's time to move on. Now, it's not as easy to say, yep, we're done with the veteran guy. Let's go find our next guy in the draft. Yes, you're picking at 11, but there's a lot of teams ahead of you that are going to need or want quarterbacks. And there's going to be posturing and moving around. And I don't think there's going to be a guy worthy of taking at 11 when you get to 11. Now, could you land a Hendon Hooker or somebody like that in the second, maybe third round? Sure you could, but that's a project. You're going to need a veteran to be here for at least a year or two before you could turn the keys over to somebody like him. And he could turn out to be similar to Malik Willis, where you realize he's not an NFL quarterback. You could also bring the right OC in here to develop Malik Willis, and it turns out he's okay. I don't think that, but, you know, you never know. So there's a lot of different ways to go there, but I think he's the best option. I don't believe Brady is a realistic option. Derek Carr and Jimmy G to me would be downgrades, and Aaron Rodgers, while the reports are out there, he could be traded. You have too many holes to give up the draft capital to make that work.
Yeah, I think I saw a report earlier this morning just on the Aaron Rodgers front of the Packers want at least two first-round picks. And then, I mean, I think it's something crazy. I was listening yesterday to ESPN Radio that you would have to pay Rodgers $60 million just for the year that he's with you, right? Because he signed that huge contract with Green Bay last year, and they're not gonna try to get out of that contract and basically just have dead money of close to $40 or $50 million. So I think Aaron probably is out. Then again, we've seen crazier things. I think that's probably the farthest one away from you. Brady, you know, he is going to be a free agent. I think there are, as I almost fall off my chair,
please
there,
don't do that.
There are going to be other options, right? We've talked about the Raiders with McDaniels. They already have that prior connection. It's going to come down to, you know, also who do you hire at offensive coordinator? what is the plan that you're presenting to them? Like, why should a guy like Tom Brady, who's just chasing more rings, he's just trying to go to another franchise and win another ring, right? First off, your offensive line in front of him. Brady is not a mobile quarterback, never has been, has always just been back there. He needs to be protected or he's not going to be able to make plays. I mean, we saw it this year. He was just like, people bring up these passing stats by Brady and, you know, how many attempted throws and all that stuff. But, you know, a lot of times it was in a, okay, comeback situation. I mean, they only had, they won, were they just 500 this year to make the playoffs? I mean, a lot of that was situational and not just because he was slinging it all over the field and had these amazing numbers. It was because they were in comeback situations. And yeah, sometimes that worked. But, you know, the unfortunate truth is he's not a guy, he's not a young, agile guy who can, you know, overcome a offensive line. Then, you know, another guy who you forgot to mention, Chase, and I know some people think and roll their eyes at this, that it's not an option, but I truly do think that Trey Lance actually could be an option to potentially come here. You stay on Tannehill for the next year, but the way I look at it, and, you know, the San Francisco Chronicle, which is a pretty viable news story, it's a really viable news source in San Francisco, came out with an article on Saturday saying, you know, talking with people within the organization saying that Brock Purdy's their guy.
Yeah.
So they gave up a lot to get Trey Lance at 3. Rand Carthon, your new GM, obviously has ties to him. So how much are you willing to give up? I don't think they'll get what they gave to get him. But, you know, could you figure out a deal where you get him for, you know, maybe a couple picks and Rand Carthon's really confident that he's going to be your guy? And then he sits under Tannehill for a year and you don't get that cap hit from Tannehill, you know, the following year you can move off of him. But I really do think that that is an option not a lot of people are talking about, but it's more realistic than a Brady or a Rodgers.
See, I disagree because I just don't, I don't believe in giving up the draft assets that you would have to give up to get Trey Lance, because San Francisco is going to hold him as a bounty and they're like, look, we can either hang on to him and see what he is, and he can be the backup to Purdy, or we can unload him and get a bunch of draft picks, you know, to let him go. But they still traded up to the 3rd overall pick in the draft to take him. There's too much unknown for me to be willing to do that for a team that has so many other holes. Draft capital is so important right now for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. I understand what you're saying. I don't agree with you. I don't look at him as a good option because there are way too many question marks with him.
If Rand Carthon comes in and he tells Mike Vrabel, he is our guy, he is going to be an absolute superstar. Like, I think, you know, like, we need to do everything to go and get him. Then I think if your new GM is coming in here and telling you, like, this is the guy, I've seen him, I've worked with him, like, he's going to be an absolute superstar someday, he could be your franchise guy, I think 100% you try to go get him.
Okay.
And that, give up draft capital.
In the spirit of collaboration, which is what they're doing, let's discuss that further, because you seem to have a pretty strong case, or you're making a pretty strong case for Trey Lance and the Titans making a trade for him. What do you all think? 615-737-1025. That is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can call or text, should the Titans make a play for Trey Lance? I say no. Michelle says yes. What do you think? We'll discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Hey, did you know you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day? Good song, Nick. Our video streaming is presented by Superbook Sports. Back here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your calls and your texts, 615-737-1025. Do you think that Trey Lance is a viable option for the Tennessee Titans at quarterback? I say no. Michelle says yes. What do you think? I think this is an interesting debate. And I understand it because Rand Carthon was a part of the crew that found him in San Francisco, even though, I mean, he was a top pick, but was a part of that process of trading up to the 3rd overall pick and getting him. Now, where I think Rand Carthon has been very good because of, you know, his job there is helping find, you know, guys like Elijah Mitchell and Brock Purdy, you know, those guys later in the draft, it would seem that San Francisco, you know, they're on the verge of a Super Bowl berth with Brock Purdy as their quarterback, that they might ride that. And so that makes somebody like Trey Lance expendable. Now, I don't think they're going to let him go for, you know, nothing.
No.
And that's the thing. What Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel have to do here is they have to fill a lot of holes. And to me, it doesn't make sense to give up the assets that it's going to take to get Trey Lance. Now, I don't know exactly what those assets are. It would take more to get Aaron Rodgers that you're certainly not going to do. Plus, you got to pay him a lot. At least you're getting Trey Lance still on a rookie deal. But I'm looking for situations where they can find dynamic playmakers on offense, rebuild an offensive line, get some help, you know, in the linebacking core. I mean, you know, I heard the discussion this morning about Bud Dupree. And I thought that was interesting.
I did too.
It's like, yes, he has not lived up to the contract. And so it's very easy to say, yeah, you got to let him go. But you got to have pass rush.
You do, and it's not easy to find guys like that, right? Obviously, quarterback's going to be the number one guy you're going to want to hit on. But who's the second guy you're going to want to hit on, right? When you're building a roster, you want a guy who can affect the quarterback on the other side of the ball on your defense, right? Pass rushers. And although, yeah, Bud Dupree is going to be 30, you did sign him to that big contract, and it's not as easy to get out of it as you think. I think the guy said he played 22 out of the 34 games he was here. He did play in that playoff game against Cincinnati last year, but he struggled with injuries. But, you know, he's a guy that I'm definitely going to keep over a Zach Cunningham.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
But, you know, I think he's better than a Rashad Weaver when he's on the field. I don't think Rashad Weaver is quite there. Yes, younger. Yes, on a rookie deal. But I don't think Rashad Weaver's ready to take on, you know, as much as Bud Dupree has been.
Yeah, I'm not ready to give up on Weaver.
And no, I'm not ready to give up.
I don't think you're saying that either. But I want to see what because technically last year was his rookie year. I mean, he basically missed all of his rookie year. So I think there's still time there. 615-737-1025. We'll get to some texts on this in just a second. Do you think the Titans should make a run at Trey Lance, or how do you feel about the quarterback position overall? Let's go to our phone line and hear from Graham. He wants to weigh in. Welcome in.
Hey, Graham.
Hey. Just a couple points here. Just kind of like how John Robinson was plucked from the Patriots. You know, he knew how that organization ran, and Carthon has been around that culture a little bit, that he knows who to bring in. The 49ers have made more Super Bowls than the Titans have in the last 20 years, so knowing that, and plus making a big trade during this season for Christian McCaffrey has paid off. So I think looking now in the future to come, he can make some stuff that can make some big impacts right away.
All right, Graham. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Graham.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, if you're not going rebuild mode, which I don't think they are, D-Mace has used renovation, retooling. Like, I like that. Refurbishing.
Just going to flip the home.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna go and basically you're redoing the kitchen. You know, that's the offensive line. You're gonna redo the kitchen. You're gonna put new floors down. You know, you're gonna paint. Maybe fix the windows. Get new windows, and then you're good.
You're good. Yeah, exactly. And I think like that is the conversation that you and I have had, you know, over these last couple of weeks since we started this show, is that you don't need to fully tank. But there are some positions you can upgrade at, yes. But then I think that every single year, if you don't have your guy at quarterback, you need to be evaluating whether it's the guys in the draft, whether it's young guys who, you know, for instance, Trey Young is Trey Young. Trey Lance.
He's a good basketball player.
Trey, I said that. I was like,
he played quarterback?
I was watching Hawks Bulls last night. He was in my head. Or a guy like Trey Lance, right? So I think that because it has become such a quarterback-driven league, and Rand Carthon mentioned that when he spoke to us on Friday, that guys get hired and fired every single day. I think that heading into next year, yes, for right now, Ryan Tannehill is your best offense, or is your best option. He's been a guy who's been in this offense. You know, he's been efficient for you all. He's been successful. He's won a lot of games. But if you have the opportunity, whether it's in the draft, you think that one of those three guys, or you think maybe a guy who's under the radar like Hendon Hooker or something like that, you are really, really confident and think this is our guy. Or, you know, Rand Carthon comes in and he's like, listen, the Niners are going with Purdy because he got in there and he really showed, you know, that he can perform under the pressure, and we didn't think that he was going to be this great, but wow, you know, he got overlooked at every position and we finally picked him last in the draft, and he's our guy moving forward. Okay, whatever. They're not going to give up Trey Lance for nothing.
No.
But I think if you are so confident that he could be your guy moving forward, I think it would be stupid not to look in to try to give it up to get him, because they don't come around all the time. And yeah, if you miss him, okay, but at least you tried. But what if you hit on him and he's your quarterback for the next how many years?
Ifs and nuts. Ifs and buts.
Ifs, but that's ifs and buts.
Ifs and buts, candies and nuts. We all have a Merry Christmas.
But like, you can say that for the draft too. Okay, you want to keep your capital. You want to keep your capital and you draft Dylan Raidens, Caleb Farley. Right, I can name off all these guys who didn't end up working and you kept that capital. What if, you know, this year you trade a bunch of that and you get Trey Lance and it works? You know, we can play these back and forth games, but, you know, I do think it's definitely something that you have to look into, especially if you think that his potential and his ceiling could be up there with some of the best quarterbacks in the league, and specifically the AFC.
Yeah. Here's an interesting text, though, and where I would go with this. Marlon from Murfreesboro. Lance and Tannehill have the same injury risk at this rate. Lance hasn't proven himself, and at least Tannehill has won some games. Better with the devil, I know. The injury concern is a big one for me.
100%. But I'm not saying go off Tannehill right now. I'm saying keep Tannehill.
So you're saying give up whatever you'd have to give up to trade for Lance and bring Lance in to back up Tannehill?
If you think he's your guy, yes.
Yeah, I think you have too many holes to fill, you know, on this. This is where I would semi agree with you. If this team didn't have the problems that it did at offensive line, then I think this could be a bit of a different conversation. You could do that because then you're planning for the future. But the fact that you don't have an offensive line right now, and that's going to take so much, and you know, Cincinnati turned it around in a year, mm-hmm. Even though I think the Titans are worse, you know, at O-line, it's going to take some time. It's going to take draft assets and free agency to do that.
No, I agree that I'm not saying that the Titans don't have, you know, a lot of holes that they need to fill. The perspective that I'm looking at it from is, okay, for example, when Rand Carthon got up and spoke to the media on Friday and talked about, you know, Elijah Mitchell, the San Francisco 49ers needed a linebacker. They wanted to get a linebacker. And this is a smaller example, but they needed a linebacker. But then they see Elijah Mitchell, and then the linebackers coach sees him, and he's like, "Who is that guy?" And they're like, "You know, it doesn't matter. We're not getting a linebacker. We're getting this guy because he is the best guy." What I'm looking at right now is, I know that the Tennessee Titans have a lot of other holes at positions, but if you truly do believe that he is as talented as, you know, people say he is, and that he could be the future, why would you not at least try to go get him, even though you have a lot of other holes? You know, quarterbacks, I mean, look at last year's quarterback class, right? Okay, are you just going to stay with Tannehill and then, you know, try to fill these holes, and then, you know, you already wasted a third-round pick on Malik Willis and people are already off of him and don't think that he's going to be, you know, able to be a starter in the NFL?
Right. Here's the other part. I mentioned the injury, and it sparked this in my head. Rand Carthon was asked Friday about injuries.
On that, along those lines, what's your policy then, or your idea on bringing in guys who are currently injured or have a history of injury?
I mean, obviously, you don't want to hopefully not bring in, you know, injured guys, right? You can't get anything out of anyone if they're not available, you know. So our mission is going to be to put, you know, systems in place where we can get guys on the healthier side, But you know, once you kick this thing off, nobody's ever 100%, you know, again. So it'll be about, you know, maximizing guys with where they are.
I think because of the history of John Robinson, you know, drafting Caleb Farley, who had injury history, signing Bud Dupree off an ACL. There's been other examples of bringing in hurt guys. Even though Rand Carthon knows Trey Lance and has that connection, I believe he will be strongly encouraged to not pursue that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Titans injury situation, though, like when Vrabel spoke at his ending press conference, like he talked about, Trey Lance broke his leg. You can't really avoid that in football. You can't avoid an ACL. Yeah, you can, you know, try to work on soft tissue injuries and stuff. And I get the point of, you know, not wanting to bring somebody in who's had, you know, injuries and things like that. And we don't even know if San Francisco wants to give him up, right? Like, you don't know. I'm just saying, because now the text line's like, why would you, if San Francisco thinks that he's a franchise guy, why would they ever give him up? And like, mm-hmm. I get that. But, you know, if they think that Brock Purdy is better, but they still think he's going to be, it's just an option.
Sure.
Right?
Look, this is a healthy debate.
But that's, I also think, you know, if people aren't looking at it like, oh, that could be an option. I mean, people are so out on Malik Willis. They're so out on Ryan Tannehill. But then you throw out another option of a guy who, when he's been on the field, and yes, I know in preseason games and he played in Soldier Field in the monsoon up there, the first game of the season, like, he obviously was drafted third for a reason, and I know we see busts, but, you know, people are out on Tannehill, they're out on Malik Willis, and then they think you're going to go get Aaron Rodgers. At least I'm bringing up a viable option.
Yeah, and I mean, I know one texter said that, you know, the rumors are he could be, you could get him for a third round pick. I mean,
if you could do that.
But I do kind of feel like you're going one or the other. I don't see a scenario where you have Tannehill and Lance. I understand why you're thinking that, but I don't think that's a viable option, because then you're, you know, this would be what, year three for Lance? I mean, it, you know, you got to see what you got. But I don't know. It's an interesting debate, and it's going to continue to be a debate until we have resolution on who the quarterback is.
Somebody said, I don't want him if a six rounder starting above him. I mean, you can't. Brady was a six rounder, right? Like, that's the easiest comparison, right? You know, just because,
yeah, I mean, Mr. Irrelevant is starting above him, the last pick in the draft.
Yeah, and I know Brady won't ever happen again, but I mean, we see guys all the time. I mean, George Kittle was a, you know, fourth or fifth round pick, and he's one of the best tight ends in the league right now, right? So, I mean, we see that all the time with guys. I don't think you can look at it as a six round guy is starting above him.
Yeah.
And also Shanahan's offense, you don't have to be a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow, right? His offense is very similar to the college offense, and that is why you can have guys like Jimmy G, a guy like Brock Purdy, be successful in that offense. But not everybody can do it, because it's really hard to have the depth on your team and have great guys at almost every other position.
Right.
So the point to that.
615-737-1025. There you go. Good debate. That is for sure. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your texts on that. The quarterback options for the Tennessee Titans. I think Rodgers ends up in with the Jets.
I do too.
That just, they're,
their team
they're
is
close.
Ready.
They're close and just need the quarterback.
And I know that they missed the playoffs this year, but I mean, that defense, that was a top defense in the league, and they just had way too much drama with Zach Wilson. And there's a guy who was drafted, I think, right above Justin Fields, and
yeah,
already not panning out.
So I could see that. But up next, we've talked about if the Titans model themselves after the 49ers, what would that mean? Would we obviously sign up for that? Coach Bob Shoup had thoughts on that yesterday. You'll hear from him next here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Show presented by Hair Club. Love your hair, live your life, creating custom hair loss solutions for men and women. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, reporter Nick Keezer, and some Dr. John. Very good. Very good. Your music catalog is expanding, and I like that. I'm very proud of you.
Yes, I'm very happy that you are pleased with that. And I think one person I can CC on this message is Elijah Campbell, because he has been a great influence.
Yeah.
That's good. Elijah knows music. I think that is a great source for you.
Yeah, and I'm not as educated on music, and that is completely okay.
I know that.
You know who doesn't know music? Is Rex Rodney. I hope he's listening right now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but you can always play Here Comes the Sun, and it always gets him going.
Oh, there you go.
That's a good song. The Titans. Yeah, we talked about this yesterday, Michelle, modeling themselves after the 49ers. And, you know, Rand Carthon coming from that organization, seeing what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have put together. Can they do that here, and how effective would that be? I co-hosted Stillman & Company yesterday with Coach Bob Shoup. Bob has been a defensive coordinator for many schools in the SEC, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Penn State, and the Big Ten. So he's well-connected in all aspects of football. And so I asked him that question, and it's a little bit of a longer answer, but here was his thoughts.
By all accounts in the 49ers organization, the collaboration between Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch is off the charts. I mean, that's what, you know, Rand spoke about that. Yeah, and you could kind of see that. I could see similarities and parallels between the relationship between Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel. And what I could see is a team that wants to establish a level of toughness, be a team that plays great suffocating defense and runs the football. Now, as I said, the difference, I think that already is Titan football. However, I think that we need to, you know, I think the strategy and how to run the ball has to be a little bit different. As I said, I mean, when you watched the 49ers run game yesterday, that was creative run game. George Kittle lining up out wide and motioning in, and him and Yurisic, you know, with some pull schemes for whether it was Christian McCaffrey, whether it was Deebo Samuel, or whether it was Elijah Mitchell, you know, some of the things. But to your point, I think the thing that you can get away with is a distributor at quarterback, a game manager at quarterback. And if that's who Ryan Tannehill is, if we were at the if we were at Vanderbilt right now and having a quarterback camp, and just a camp, nothing else, I tend to believe that Ryan Tannehill would fare very well against Brock Purdy, Trey Lance, or Jimmy G. I truly believe that. The 6 inches between your ears is the thing I can't measure, because I don't know these guys. Brock Purdy's a baller by all accounts. And Trey Lance, the jury's still out. You know, a little bit of maybe that young Malik Willis type characteristic right there, still learning the game. Hard to say, because he was injured and certainly didn't play. You know, he played college football at the FCS level and was an exceptionally good player at the FCS level, but doesn't have a whole lot of experience. Still, to me, a project. And Jimmy G's had his good moments and bad moments. Sure. He's coached his team to a Super Bowl and has won playoff games on the road and done a lot of great things during the course of his career. But so I think you can win, and you could be successful on offense, you know, with a Ryan Tannehill running the offense that the 49ers run. And I you know, the 49ers are a front seven based defense too. I mean, they don't have elite, you know, players in the secondary, which is similar to what they, you know, we talk about with the Titans. The Titans are a solid group up front in the front seven, have good safety play, but they've got to continue to improve and have more elite talent at the corner position.
That's Bob Shoup, the coach, yesterday on Stillman and Company, and so he hit a lot of different things in there. Trey Lance, somebody that we were talking about, is still maybe in the development process just because of the injuries. But he basically, we were on the same page of kind of what you and I talked about, of that, look, if you can build a great roster around your quarterback, whoever that is, the quarterback doesn't have to be elite. You'd love to have the elite quarterback, but it doesn't have to be. Then that's the formula. That's what San Francisco has been successful with. Now, to be fair, they don't have the Super Bowl ring to show for it yet. They've gotten there. They have a chance to go there again. But people are going to be going like, well, I mean, it's just good enough to get there. You're going to actually win it. But I would sign up, and I think most Titans fans would sign up for it. If you're a perennial contender for the Super Bowl, then you take that. It's a hard trophy to win.
Do you think, when healthy last year, that was a great roster around Ryan Tannehill?
No, I don't. I think the defense was really good. So you're asking if they don't go through the ton of injuries they go through?
I'm saying you have a healthy A.J. Brown. You have a healthy Julio Jones. You have a healthy O-line, you know, obviously with Taylor Lewan on there, Nate Davis, you know, Roger Saffold. Because I would,
yeah,
I
that's
would,
closer.
I would
sure.
classify that roster when healthy, and I know that's the little asterisk next to it, and people don't like to hear that, but I would classify that as a great roster around Ryan Tannehill.
Because, I mean, even on defense, you would have Jeffrey
Simmons,
Harold
Landry,
Bud Dupree.
Bud Dupree, Christian Fulton, Kevin Byard, David Long Jr.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's pretty good to great. Yeah, that's fair. If it's healthy. I'll give you that. That is if
right?
it was healthy.
So the way I
but
look
Julio's
at it,
but Julio's the key factor on offense. The
correct.
Fact that you would be getting the Julio Jones
and obviously
that you thought you were getting.
A healthy Derek, you know, you're
yeah,
out
he
of
didn't get hurt.
Yeah. So, you know, you can look at and say, and I'm playing kind of like devil's advocate here, right? And
sure.
And we look at it because I was the first, you know, proponent to say, like, I do have confidence in Ryan Tannehill that he can win you a lot of games. Can he get you over the hump? Maybe, right? Maybe he can. Maybe he can't. The situation has to be near perfect, pretty great around him. And that's why we've seen it become so hard for teams like a San Francisco, you know, to be able to get there with a quarterback who's not a Patrick Mahomes and who's not a Joe Burrow. But they've, you know, from 2017 until now, I mean, it's pretty much had to rebuild an entire NFL roster to have depth and to have those guys and to be able to have a roster like that. And, you know, we can beat the drum of you got to be great around Ryan Tannehill. You got to be great around Ryan Tannehill. And right now, I do still believe that he is your best option starting next season. But
yep.
I also do believe that as far as, you know, moves and coaching and things like that, that roster last year was close to great around Ryan Tannehill.
If healthy. Yeah.
If healthy.
Yeah. And that,
but
that was,
you can't control that, right? That's a non-controllable factor.
No, but I mean, I look, two straight years of a ton of injuries, there's something going on that
but
they got to figure out.
Looking at it from the sense of building a roster around him that
mm-hmm.
could be great around
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
It was there. But it couldn't fully be executed because, like,
yeah,
the injuries, the unavailability, things like that.
And then you do get some guys back for the playoff game. You get 9 sacks on Joe Burrow, and he threw 3 interceptions.
And he threw, so exactly.
That's why a lot of people are out on him. I mean, we just got a text. We'll never get anywhere with Tannehill. Keep Josh Dobbs. He can hand it off just like Tannehill and throw just as good as Tannehill. I don't know about that. And then get your future quarterback. Tannehill needs to go. I think Josh Dobbs is a good backup quarterback, but
he's not better than Ryan Tannehill.
If you're going to bring him back and he's going to be the starter, then
you're
picking in the top 5 next year. That's just.
And, like, I get it. Ryan Tannehill threw those 3 picks when all eyes were on him and everybody was watching that game and people felt like, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl, right? When they got the 1 seed, they're like, we have to win 2 games at home. We're going to the Super Bowl. But also, I mean, his consistency that he has given the Tennessee Titans and his efficiency that he has had some years. I mean, what's the greeny soundbite we play? Ryan Tannehill is the most disrespected or something, right? I mean, his numbers were right up there with the top guys in the league. And then, yes, he has a moment like that where all eyes are on him and he completely shrinks under pressure.
Coming up next, we'll get to your phones. A lot of you have some texts on this subject, the quarterback subject in particular, 615-737-1025. Also, your chance to win Nickelback tickets, but you're going to have to call and answer a trivia question. I will give you that question coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Very appropriate. Little Nickelback bringing us back. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Kieser on the ones and twos. All right, we do have Michelle on the line. A pair of tickets to see Nickelback. Before you can even buy them,
woo!
With special guests Brantley Gilbert and Josh Ross at Bridgestone Arena, Tuesday, August 1st. Tickets will go on sale Friday at 10 o'clock, but you must answer this question. People are already calling in. You got to hear the question.
People are already calling in.
You
got
to hear the
question.
And I'm going to tie this into something that I love very, very much. And this might go over both of their heads, but that's okay.
Wait, quick, let me preface this. You told me what type of trivia question you were going to ask, and I was like, are people going to know that?
Oh, yeah.
So proceed.
They're gonna know. So last night was the 30th anniversary of Monday Night Raw for WWE. It was Raw is 30 is what they called it. And I remember episode one, so that's where I'm at. A Nickelback song was the theme song for Monday Night Raw from 2009 to 2012. Which song did Monday Night Raw use from Nickelback as their theme song from 2009 to 2012? You must call 615-737-1025 and tell Nick Keiser the answer. There you go.
I don't even know the answer, and we can't say it now because we have to wait for people to call.
It's a good song. I still
would
like
I know
it.
Oh
yeah.
Would people know the song?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It was I know the song. I just looked it up.
It was one of their big songs.
I got it. That would be a fun concert in Bridgetown.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. Do we already get a winner? We get it first time. There we go.
I already saw. Actually, I think the Preds posted this on Twitter this morning. Speaking of Bridgestone and concerts, Thomas Rhett, he had a Preds jersey on and already said that he's going to be there at the end of September. So I'm like, that one is definitely going to be put on my calendar.
I have seen Thomas Rhett at Bridgestone Arena. Very good show.
Oh, yeah. I saw him at Rupp Arena, another good arena, not too far from here.
I still want to go to Rupp. I haven't been there.
Yeah, I'm trying to secure those Kansas-Kentucky tickets this weekend. They're a little pricey. Mm. A little pricey. But
hey, Ryan, get her the tickets. The answer was Burn It to the Ground.
Yes, 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 yes. I did look that up.
So we already have a winner. Very, very good song. Some texts. Any big texts stand out to you
As we talk about the quarterback? We will just never get anywhere with Tannehill. Keep Dobbs. He can hand it off just like Tannehill and throw as good as Tannehill. Get your future quarterback. Tannehill needs to go. To that point, you and I touched on, you know, he can't throw as good as Tannehill. There's a reason he's been a backup for 6 years in the league. Do think he's a very good option, though, as a backup quarterback to have, sure, and a guy who you can feel confident, you know, to go on the field. Another texter texts in, Tannehill is good when he's protected. I don't care who we bring in as a QB if we can't protect them. Fix the O-line and get some wide receivers.
Amen.
Another fair point, right? So that's going to be a big one. Like we talked about, the offensive line isn't a quick fix because I've heard I want the whole O-line fixed and I want a whole new wide receiver room. And it's a little tougher, right? You know, also finding your franchise quarterback is really tough. So,
yeah, I'll play devil's advocate for Jared for a second. Let's just say for you know what's and giggles that they decide to move on from Ryan Tannehill and Vrabel picks up the phone. Tommy, what's up? It's Vrabes. How you doing?
He does call him Tommy.
That's Tampa. And he was like, what's up, Vrabes? Nah, not much, man. Just chilling. Hey, how do you feel about coming to Nashville, playing for the Titans? We'd love to have you. We'd love to reunite, you know, see what it's like. Maybe Gronk will come with you. Vrabes, I love you, baby, but not with that offensive line. Click.
Or... Hey, Vrabes, who's my center? Who's my left tackle? Yeah. Who's my right tackle? And who we got as guards in there as well?
Yeah.
You know, if he can answer that question, then Brady can bring weapons with him, like you mentioned, yeah, Gronk, right? It's already been, you know, out there. Also, too, I love Gronk. I think, you know, great personality. He's been on the Fox broadcast.
He does a good job on Fox.
He is at the stage where, like, when Shaq first started on Inside the NBA, tried too hard to be, like, a broadcaster, yeah, at first, and it was like, just let him be goofy, and I just want to see the goofy side of Gronk. Like, you can tell some of the things are planned out of, like, Gronk, come here and say this about TB12 or something, but, yeah, he's good, but Gronk, let's come back to your football career in Nashville, because that would be really fun.
Unnamed texter says, what about trade for Jordan Love or Cooper Rush? No. Those guys are backups. They just are.
Jordan Love, I mean, is at the point where, you know, they drafted him to be their guy after Rodgers. And some more reports we were talking about in the break, right? Like the Dov Kleinman, I don't know how to say his last name. He's a reporter for the NFL. But he said that the Packers are looking at options of a potential trade within the AFC, not the NFC. So they're going to need Jordan Love.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah.
It just makes so much sense. Write this down. January 24th, 2023.
What about the Giants?
Chase, no, they're going to bring back Daniel Jones.
Oh, and they're in the NFC too. I just said that.
Yeah. Chase McCabe says Tom Brady to Vegas, Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
What about this? What about this? Are you ready? Are you sitting down? You are sitting down.
I am sitting down, yes.
Aaron Rodgers to the Patriots.
No. Rodgers would not put up with Bill, and Bill wouldn't put up with him. I don't see that. I don't see that at all. Because remember, Bill's the one that would make that trade. I don't think so.
Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there.
If you are right, we will hold a parade for Michelle.
That would be wild.
Be a promo. I mean, you would get your victory lap.
I'm just throwing around like AFC teams who still have a question mark at quarterback, right? Obviously, we've talked about here, the Jets seem like they would be, you know, the best option. But I mean,
where does Derek Carr go? And what is Derek Carr at this point?
I don't know what Derek Carr
is. I think Derek Carr is a stopgap. So, like, what would make sense if the Raiders just say, because I don't think they're going to be able to get much for him if they trade him.
No.
If the Raiders basically
didn't they cut him? I don't think.
No, they haven't done anything yet. But I mean, if they eat it and they cut him, the Packers make a ton of sense if they do trade Rodgers, because he could be kind of that stopgap. Now, you know, they may say, well, let's just see what we got in Jordan Love, and then, you know, you could tank and find your next guy.
Somebody texted in Coy from Clarksville, this car to Atlanta. That actually kind of makes
sense. That could make sense.
Because they drafted Desmond Ritter, who, I mean, we don't know what Mariota's doing. He pretty much just left the team.
He's gone. He's done.
Will he be anywhere? Will he be a backup anywhere?
Yeah, he'll probably get a backup job.
Somebody's saying Derek Carr to the Colts. I could see that.
I think
maybe they do that and they have another kind of random veteran guy in there and then they develop their young guy. Because I do still think the Colts will draft a quarterback. I think that Chris Ballard will draft a quarterback.
And I think it's Will Levis.
I do think it's Will Levis too. I've been on that. I also did say I thought that they were going to try to hire J-Rob, but obviously Chris Ballard's staying. I think they will draft Will Levis if they can get him. But Derek Carr would be an interesting option for that 1 year.
This is an interesting one. Rick on my personal text line says Derek Carr to Tampa.
Derek Carr to Tampa.
That's an interesting one. I could see that because Tampa's going to need a quarterback if Brady leaves.
They're also going to need receivers too.
Well, I mean, they still have Godwin and Evans.
Yeah.
But
I could see them wanting to.
Yeah.
What do their contracts look like?
I'd have to go look.
Yeah, me too. But I could see them trying to jump ship somewhere. Carr to the Commanders on here. So, I mean, there's so many different options. There's so many different teams who still have question marks. I mean, the Panthers, whether they draft somebody. I mean, we still don't even know if Lamar Jackson's going to be with the Ravens, right? I feel like this offseason with quarterbacks, I mean, last season was pretty crazy, but I think this season is going to be a lot of movement going on.
Yeah, and the Saints need to find somebody.
Yeah, the Saints. Who knows if Tua is even going to, right? After suffering those three head injuries back to back to back, you don't even know what his future looks like there.
If Tua is not an option for Miami, then I think they make a push for Rodgers or Brady.
Yeah. Talk about Brady trying to be the part owner player with them and all those reports came out. Yeah, I could see that too.
I'll say another thing to look out for. That I don't think I think it's probably been mentioned, but Arizona could try to move Kyler. I wouldn't be shocked.
After they just gave him that huge contract?
I wouldn't be shocked. New GM, new regime coming in.
Correct, but I mean, they're going to be.
He's caused a lot of trouble.
I agree. I'm just looking at it from like, What would they have to pay? I mean, they just signed him to.
Yeah. I mean, look, they'd probably eat something and they're not going to get the return that they were. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying keep an eye on it. That's just kind of.
I mean, I don't disagree. I honestly was thinking kind of similar because obviously they got to have a new head coach, right? And their personality issues, you know, that came out of there. And I'm just thinking, you know, who logistically, because he has been a guy who hasn't proved much of anything in the league yet, would take on that. contract.
Ooh, we got a little walk-off song. I like that. That's going to do it for us, Chase and Michelle. But coming up next, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, they are live at Bridgestone Arena. And they will give you the latest on the Titans' offensive coordinator search, plus get you ready for Preds and Jets tonight. That's all next on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.